You Make Pattaya by Rich Larson. Narrated by Ramon Diocampo.
Dorian sprawled back on sweaty sheets, watching Nan, or Nam, or whatever her name was, grind up against the mirror, beaming at the pop star projected there, like she'd never seen smart glass before. He knew she was from some rural eastern province. She'd babbled as much to him while he crushed and wrapped parachutes for the first round of party pills. But after a year in Pattaya, you'd think she would have lost the big eyes and the bubbliness, both of which were starting to massively grate on him. Dorian had been in the city for a month now, following the tourist influx, tapping the banks and Venmos of sun-scalded Russians too stupid to put their phones in a Faraday pouch as they staggered down Walking Street. In the right crowd, he could slice a dozen people for 10 or 20 euros each and make off with a small fortune before a polydrone could zero in on him. And in Bot, that small fortune still went a long way. More than enough to reward himself with a phetamine-fueled 48-hour club spree through a lurid smear of discos and dopamine bars, from green-lit insomnia to Tiger Tiger's tectonic dance floor, and finally to some anonymous club on the wharf where he yanked a gorgeous face with bee-stung lips from a queue of bitters on Skinspin and wasted no time renting the two of them a privacy suite. Dorian put a finger to his lips to mute the pop star in the mirror, partly to ward off the come-down migraine and partly just to see the hooker's vapid smile slip to the vapid pout that looked better on her. She pulled the time display out from the corner of the mirror and made a small noise of surprise in her throat. "I must shower." She checked the cheap nanoscreen embedded in her thumbnail, rueful. "Other clients soon. Business lady. Gets angry when I late even one fucking second." She spun toward the bed. "I like you better," she cooed. "You're handsome. Her, I don't know. She wear a blur." She raked her glittery nails through the air in front of her face to illustrate. "That's unfortunate," Dorian said, pulling his modded tablet out from under the sheets. "Like I fuck a ghost," she said with a grimace. "Gives me shivers." She turned back to her reflection, piling up her dark hair with one hand and encircling her prick with the other. She flashed him an impish, crest-capped grin from the mirror. "You want a shower with me?" Dorian's own chafed cock gave a half-hearted twitch. He counted the popped tabs of Taurus already littered around the room and decided not to risk an overdose. "I'll watch," he said. "How's that?" Her shoulders heaved an exaggerated sigh. Then she flitted off to the bathroom. Dorian flicked the shower's smart glass from frosted to one-way transparent, watching her unhook the tube and wave it expectantly in his general direction. Dorian used his tablet to buy her the suite's maximum option, 60 liters of hot water. Once she was busy under the stream, rapping along to Malaysian blip hop, he took advantage of the privacy to have a look at his bank. The scrolling black figure in his savings account gave him a swell of pride. 30,000 euros, just over €1 million in Bot. He was ripping down record cash, and the weekend's binge had barely dented him. Maybe it was finally time to go to a boatyard and put in some inquiries. Dorian alternated between watching curves through the wet glass and watching clips of long-keeled yachts on his tablet. Then, in the corner of his eye, the mirror left tuned to a Thai entertainment feed flashed a face he actually recognized. Alexis Caro. UK startup queen, founder of Delphi Apps, and freshly minted billionaire. Dorian sat up a bit straighter, and the mirror noticed, generating English subtitles. Caro Vacation Incognito. Alexis Caro, young CEO from Delphi Apps, on vacay in our very own beautiful country, celeb spotters made clip yesterday on Pattaya Bay area. She appears having a wonderful time pursuing Sau'ai 17 with only bodyguard. No lover for her? Where is singer-songwriter Muhammad X. Alexis Caro is secretive always. Dorian dumped the feed from the mirror onto his tablet, zooming in on the digital stills from some celeb spotter's personal drone that showed Ms. Caro slipping inside an AI-driven tuk-tuk, wearing Gucci shades and a sweat-wicking headscarf. Thailand still pulled in a lion's share of middle-class Russian and Australian holidayers, plus droves of young Chinese backpackers. But Dorian knew the West's rich and or famous had long since moved on to sexier climes. Alexis Caro was news, and she was here in Pattaya. Cogs churned in his head. Grifter's intuition tingled the nape of his neck. He eased up off the bed and walked to the smart glass wall of the bathroom. Inside, Nam was removing her penis, trailing strands of denatured protein. He doubted it was her original organ. Surgeons needed something to work with when they crafted the vagina, after all, but customers liked the fantasy. Dorian put his forehead against the smart glass, watching as she slipped the disembodied cock into the nutrient gel of a chic, black, refrigerated carry case. The night's activities were a slick fog. He tried to remember what she told him between bouts of hallucination-laced sex, the endless murmuring in his ear while they lay tangled together. Things about her family in Buriram, things about her friends, things about her clients.
"Someone even richer than you," she'd said,
fooled by his rented spider silk suit and open bar tab.
"Wants me all the week. You're lucky I think you are handsome."
Dorian couldn't contain his grin as he looked down at his tablet, flicking through the photos. She was right about one thing. He had always been lucky. By the time the hooker was dressed, Dorian had checked on Skinspin and verified her name was Nam. She exited the bathroom with a slink of steam, wrapped in a strappy white dress, her black hair immaculate again. Dorian appraised her unending legs, soot-rimmed eyes, and pillowy lips. She was definitely enough to catch even a celebrity's by-wandering eye.
"What?"
she asked. She crouched to retrieve one Louboutin knockoff kicked under the bed. Dorian produced its partner.
"Nothing, Nam," he said, handing her the sandal. "I was just thinking how much I'd like to take you back to London with me." "Don't make a joke," she said, but she looked pleased.
She gripped his arm for balance while she slipped into her shoes and then gave him a lingering goodbye kiss. As soon as the door of the privacy suite snicked shut behind her, Dorian scrambled back into his clothes. Someone had dumped half a sing across his shoes, and his sport coat stank like laced hash, but he didn't have time for a clothing delivery. He raked fingers through his gel-crisped hair, prodded the dark circles under his eyes, and left. The narrow hall was a bright, antiseptic white, unsullied by ads, and the soundproof guarantee of each privacy suite made it eerily quiet, too. AI-run hotels did always tend toward a minimalistic aesthetic. Walking Street, by contrast, bombarded every last one of Dorian's senses the moment he stepped outside. The air stank like spice and petrol, and a thousand strains of synthesized music mingled with drunk shrieks, laughter, trilingual chatter. The street itself was a neon hubbub of revelers. Dorian used his tablet to track the sticky he'd slapped to the bottom of Nam's shoe. He couldn't see her through the crush, but according to the screen, she was heading up street toward the beach road entrance. He plunged off the step, ducking an ad bot trailing a digital Sawai 6 banner, and made for the closest tech vendor. A gaggle of tourists was arrayed around the full-body immersion tank, giggling at their electrode-tethered friend drifting inside with a telltale erection sticking off him. Dorian cut past them and swapped 2,000 baht for a pair of lime-green knockoff eyeglasses, prying them out of the packaging with his fingernails. He blinked his way through setup, bypassed user identification,
and tuned them to the sticky signal. A digital marker dropped down through the night sky, drizzling a stream of white code over a particular head like a localized rain shower. Stowing his tablet, Dorian hurried after the drifting marker, past a row of food stands hawking chemical orange chicken kebabs and fried scorpions. A few girls whose animated tattoos he vaguely recognized grabbed at him as he went by, trailing fake nails down his arm. He deked away, but tagged one of them to skin spin later. It looked like she'd gotten her implants redone. Once he had Nam in eyeball sight, he slowed up a bit. She was mouthing lyrics to whatever she had in her audio buds as she bounced along, neck snapping a group of Tank and Tog's Australian blokes with a sine curved sway of her hips. She detoured once, outside Medusa, where bored girls were perusing their phones and dancing on autopilot to exchange rapid-fire sawat-dees and air kisses. She detoured again to avoid a love-struck Russian on Shard. Ducking into a stall selling 3D-printed face masks of dead celebrities, Dorian looked past Nam to the approaching roundabout. A shiny black ute caught his eye through the customary swarm of scooters and tuk-tuks. As he watched, Nam checked her thumbnail, then glanced up at the ute and quickened her pace. Dorian felt a jangle of excitement down his spine as he scanned the vehicle for identifying tags and found not a single one. Someone had knocked over a trash tip, spilling the innards across Nam's path, but she picked her way through the slimed food cartons and empty condom sprays with pinpoint precision that left Dorian dimly impressed. He squinted to trigger the eyeglass's zoom, wondering if he should chance trying to get a snap of the inside of the ute. Then the laser show started up again, throwing its neon green web into the dark clouds over Pattaya's harbor, and as Nam craned her beautiful head to watch for what was probably the millionth time, her heel punctured a sealed bag of butcher giblets.
"Shit," Dorian said.
At the same time, Nam appeared to be saying something similar. Casting a glance at the approaching ute, she lowered herself gingerly to the curb to hunt through her bag. She produced a wipe and cleaned the red gunge off her ankle and the strap of her sandal. Dorian bit at the inside of his cheek. She continued to the underside of the shoe, wiping the needle-like heel clean, then paused. Dorian winced, thinking of all the many places he could have put the sticky, slipped into her bag, or onto the small of her back, or even somewhere in her hair. Nam pincered the tiny plastic bead between two nails and peered at it. Dorian crossed his tattooed fingers, hoping she wasn't one of the many girls addicted to Bollywood spy flicks. She frowned, then balled the sticky up in the used wipe and tossed it away. The stream of code floated a half meter over, now useless, as the ute pulled in. Dorian slid closer, watching Nam get to her feet, smooth out her dress. For the first time, she looked slightly nervous. The ute's shiny black door opened with a hiss. Dorian didn't have an angle to see the interior as Nam slithered inside. But the voice within was unmistakable. Cockney accent, undisguised.
"Christ, what is that stink? Please do not track that shit in with you, love."
Dorian didn't get to hear Nam's retort. The door swooshed shut and the ute bullied its way back into the traffic. Dorian trotted over and picked up the bloody wipe, retrieving the sticky from inside. The smell barely bothered him, because Alexis Cara was slumming it in Pattaya, and he was going to blackmail the ever-loving shit out of her. When Dorian tried to search Nam's profile again, he wasn't particularly surprised to see she'd pulled it off mixed and skin spin and the rest. Either finding the sticky had spooked her, or her current customer was upping the pay enough to make exclusivity worthwhile, Dorian had to do things the old-fashioned way, with a sheaf of rumpled 200-baht notes doled out to helpful individuals. He didn't find her on the beach until late afternoon, and almost didn't recognize her when he did. She sat cross-legged on the palm-shaded sand, chatting to the old woman selling coconut milk and bags of crushed ice from a sputtering mini-fridge. Her face was more or less scrubbed of makeup, eyes smaller without the caked-on coal, and her black hair hung gathered in a ponytail. Loose harem pants, flip-flops, a canary-yellow Jack Daniels tank he assumed was being worn ironically.
"Sawat dee, crap,"
Dorian said, butchering the pronunciation on purpose. He flashed her an incredulous grin. "This is a surprise." Nam looked up, surprised.
"Hello,"
she beamed, running her fingers through her ponytail. Then her smile dimmed by a few watts. A crease of suspicion appeared on her forehead.
"What is it you want? I am no working."
"I guessed from the flip-flops," Dorian said.
"Long night for you?"
Nam narrowed her eyes.
"You," she said, "you put a thing to my shoe. First I think it was Ivan, but it was you."
She said something to the old woman in machine gun tie, too fast for Dorian to even try at, and slunk to her feet.
"I am going. I don't care you are handsome. You are crazy like Ivan."
She brushed sand off her legs and made for the street.
"Have you figured out who you're fucking yet?"
Dorian asked, dropping pretenses.
"That business lady? The angry one?"
Nam stopped, turned back. Dorian clawed the air in front of his face as an extra reminder.
"Whatever she's paying you is shit," he said.
"More than you pay me."
"She's a lot richer than me," Dorian said. "She's Alexis Caro."
Nam's eyes winched wide, and she put a furious finger to her lips, scanning the beach as if paparazzi might burst up out of the gray sand. Dorian grinned.
"So you do know."
"What is it you want?"
Nam repeated, raking fingers through her ponytail.
"I want to talk business," Dorian said. "Walk with me a minute."
He chased a few coins out of his pocket to buy a coconut milk and a bag of ice chips, then gestured down the beach. Nam swayed, indecisive, but when Dorian started to walk, she fired off another salvo of indecipherable Thai to the old woman and fell into step with him. It was low tide, and the beach was a minefield of broken glass bottles and plastic trash floating in tepid puddles. Other than a prone tourist couple baking away their hangovers, Dorian and Nam had the place to themselves.
"You familiar with the term blackmail?"
Dorian asked, handing her the coconut milk. Nam spun the straw between her fingers.
"I watch bad movies, yes."
"Your client is wearing a blur for a reason."
Dorian ripped open the ice bag. "She's not keen on the tableaus, finding out she took a sex trip to Thailand." Nam gave an irritated shake of her head.
"If she find that thing on my shoe, big fucking trouble for me. You know that?"
"Does she actually sweep you for bugs? Christ."
Dorian popped a chunk of ice into his mouth.
"Paranoia."
"She careful."
Dorian crunched down on the cube, eliciting a squeal and crack.
"Yes, very careful. Meaning any fuck footage from her trip is going to be extremely valuable. Do you want to get rich, Nam?"
"Everybody wants to get rich,"
Nam said, plumbing with her straw, not looking at him.
"Well, this is your shot. Also my shot."
Dorian spat a piece of ice into the filmy surf. "Alexis Caro has enough money that paying two enterprising individuals, such as you and me, to suppress a sex scandal is easily worth €50,000. And if she refuses to negotiate, any of the bigger tableaus would pay us the same for the footage."
Nam's eyes went wide, and Dorian realized he probably could have halved his actual demand a second time.
"Enough money to take care of your family out in Buriram,"
Dorian continued.
"Get them out of the village if you want.
Definitely enough to assuage any lingering embarrassment about how their firstborn financed her vaginoplasty."
"I make good money, do what I do now."
Nam said sourly. Enough money. I send them.
Not 50,000 euros money, Dorian said.
Do you really want to hook up in Pattaya your whole life?
He packed another ice cube into his cheek.
This city is the diseased, bleached asshole of Thailand. It's disgusting.
Nam gave him a dirty look.
You're here?
I'm disgusting,
Dorian explained.
And this is why Pattaya is Pattaya,
Nam said, lobbing her half-empty coconut milk into the water.
You make Pattaya be Pattaya.
Don't have to litter about it.
Dorian crunched his ice.
If you help me pull this off, you can live wherever you want.
In London with you?
Nam asked dryly.
50,000 euros, Dorian repeated. Split even. 50% yours, 50% mine. I've got a way to short-circuit the blur projector. I'll rig a sticky. It's the same thing I stuck to your shoe. Tiny. You just have to put it on the collar without her noticing.
I told you she scanned me in the car.
Nam folded her arms.
Very careful. Remember?
That's why we planted in the room beforehand, along with a little slip in ICAM,
Dorian said, groping inside the ice bag with reddened fingertips.
Where's she taking you tonight? Does she do faux tales or the real thing?
Nam bit her lip. Dorian could practically see the tug of war on her creased forehead, a chance at instant wealth battling the cardinal rule of confidentiality.
I want 60%, Nam said. I lose my best ever client. I maybe get big fucking trouble. You are safe with your phone somewhere. No risk.
Dorian grinned.
You're sharper than you let on.
Why the dizzy bitch act? Do clients really like it that much?
60%,
Nam repeated, but with a hint of her own grin.
Fine.
Dorian spat out his ice and stuck out his hand.
60.
Alexis Caro had rented a suite at the Emerald Palace, a name Dorian thought a bit generous for an 8-story quickcrete facade topped by a broken-down eternity pool collecting algae. But if she was after privacy, it wasn't a bad choice. It was far enough from the main drag to be relatively quiet and small enough to be inconspicuous. Of course, gaining access was as easy as waltzing past reception wearing a drunken grin and clutching an expired key card fished from the wastebasket outside. Dorian affected a slight stagger on his way to the lift. Once the shiny door slid shut, he took out his tablet and called Nam.
How's the timing?
He asked, as she appeared on the screen putting up her hair with a static clip.
She's on her way,
Nam said, unsticking a floating tendril of dark hair from her eyelash.
Get me from Bali High in 5 minutes. Then take 10, 12 minutes back to hotel. Over.
All right.
Dorian punched the backlit 8 with his knuckle.
So I'm going to put it in the back of the toilet.
So, how they did in The Godfather. Over.
Nam was now applying a gloss to her lips that shimmered like broken glass and was not paying as close attention as Dorian would have liked.
Sure,
he said.
As soon as you get in, go to the bathroom. Get some water going so she can't hear you take the lid off. Then open the ziplock. Take the ICAM out first. You ever wear contacts?
Yes.
It's like that, Dorian said. Once you have the ICAM in, take the sticky out of the ziplock and hide it in your hand.
And put it to the blur without her knowing it.
Nam continued. Then, in a surprisingly credible imitation of Dorian's accent,
base of the projector, if possible, over.
Yeah, then business as usual, Dorian said, as the lift jittered to a halt. She won't notice when the projection goes down, so long as you're being your usual distracting self and you don't start complimenting her eyes or anything batshit like that.
The lift made to open, and he jammed it shut again.
Do what you normally do,
he went on.
Let the ICAM do the work.
After she pays you, come find me across the street, and we'll get the POV uploaded to a private cloud. At which point, champagne and a blowjob.
Who give the champagne? Who give the blowjob? Nam asked, checking her thumbnail off screen. Over.
Both on me if you do this right, Dorian said, knuckling the open door button.
Message me when you get the hotel.
He paused, and then, because she was growing on him a bit, over. Nam's face lit up for the split second before he ended the call. Then Dorian set off down the stucco-walled hallway. He made a quick check around the corner, then doubled back to door 811 and made short work of the electronic lock. The suite had obviously been prepped for her arrival. Freshly laundered sheets on the bed, a sea of fluffy white towels at the foot of it. Condom sprays and lubricants arrayed brazenly on the nightstand. Minibar stocked with Tanqueray gin and lunar vodka. Dorian plucked a cube out of the full ice bucket and popped it in his mouth, making his way to the bathroom. He lifted the featherweight top off the back of the Western-style toilet, then reached inside his pocket where the tiny eye cam and the even smaller sticky had been lovingly double-bagged in Ziploc. Neither had been cheap, and he had a feeling he wasn't going to get the sticky back. Setting the bag adrift in chemical-smelling water, Dorian replaced the top of the toilet and re-entered the room. He walked in a slow circle around the bed, picturing angles, trying not to get distracted, imagining Nam and a celebrity CEO fucking on it. In the end, he decided to plant his insurance cam in the far corner. It would be an uncreative wide-angle shot, but with a near-zero chance of Alexis Caro's de-blurred face failing to make an appearance. It wasn't that he didn't trust Nam to manage the iCam, but backups were his cardinal rule where information storage was concerned. A healthy fear of technical difficulties went hand in hand with hacking for a living. Once satisfied with the cam's placement in a shadowy whirl of stucco, Dorian put his ear to the door to listen for footsteps. Hearing nothing, he exited the room, heart pumping with the old break-and-enter exhilaration from his teenage years. His hand was still on the doorknob when a black-shirted employee rounded the corner in his peripheral. Dorian didn't look up. He pretended to struggle with the door, then looked down at his keycard and made a slurred sound of realization.
"This no your room, sir. Can I help you?"
Dorian tried not to jump. The man had slunk up and stopped directly behind him. Quiet as a cat, a feat made more impressive by the sheer size of him. Tall for a tie, broad-chested and broad-shouldered, with a shaved scalp glistening in the fluorescent lighting and a tattoo of a cheerful cartoon snake wriggling up and down one sinewy forearm. Dorian could have sworn he'd been kicked out of a couple bars by the very same. Bouncers and hotel security tended to overlap.
"Wrong floor," Dorian said, waving his key card. "Hit the wrong button in the lift. One too many Changs."
He shook an imaginary beer bottle.
"Okay, sir," the guard said, not smiling. "Nice tattoo," Dorian added. "Friendly-looking little bugger."
He gave the man a bleary grin, then made for the lift as quickly as he could without looking suspicious. Now that the rest of it was in Nam's hands, Dorian had nothing to do but wait. He camped out in an automated tourist bar across the way, slumping into a plastic-molded seat with his tablet. Once Nam messaged him to say they were at the hotel, he bought a gargantuan Heineken bottle, the leader sort, and drank it slowly, on ice. Time ticked by on his tablet screen. He passed it, imagining the whole thing going off flawlessly, and then by imagining himself in a small, sleek yacht knifing through the blue-green waters off Koh Phangan. Maybe even with Nam draped on his shoulder for a week or two, wearing a pair of aviators and a skanky swimsuit. Between that and the tingly insulation of a half-liter of Heineken, he barely rattled when a hand slammed down on the table in front of him. Dorian blinked hard. Nam was standing in front of him, shoulders trembling, clutching herself. The static clip was still in place,
moving her hair in graceful black ripples around her face, but the effect wasn't the same with her lip gloss smeared halfway across her cheek and a growing brown bruise under her bloodshot left eye. And hulking behind her, red-faced and furious, was the hotel security guard.
Shit,
Dorian said. The buzz from the beer slipped away all at once.
I fuck up, Nam said shakily. I left the bathroom open. The blur go off, but when we switch around on the bed, she see herself in the mirror.
The security guard barked something fast and angry, from which Dorian could only extricate Farang and police. He reached across the table and hauled Dorian up by the armpit, jerking his head toward the door.
The eye cam,
Dorian demanded, trying to twist away. No go.
She called this big motherfucker. He take it out my eye.
Nam groaned, mascara finally starting to leak down her cheeks in inky trails.
She gets mad. She go. He says he will call the police, so I tell him you have money.
I don't have money, Dorian said reflexively, looking at the guard.
Bullshit.
Nam's eyes were wide and desperate.
I know you have money.
Dorian looked around the bar, licking his lips. He'd picked it intentionally. A collection of steroid bulky expats were cradling pints in the back, watching the situation with increasing interest. If he played ignorant right now, they looked both drunk and patriotic enough to intervene on behalf of a fellow Englishman. Nobody liked it when the locals stopped smiling.
His cousin is police, Nam said, winnowing on the edge of the sob. He says if I don't pay, he put me in the jail.
Dorian picked up his glass and finished it. The sweat pooling in his palms nearly made it slip out of his grip. He tried to think. If Caro had left in a hurry, that meant the insurance cam he'd hidden was still there in the hotel room. The fact she'd left furious only confirmed how valuable the footage was. If he wanted to get back into that room before some overzealous auto cleaner wiped the cam off the wall, he needed to defuse things.
Okay. Fuck, Dorian said. Okay. I'll come.
He gave a glance toward the back table.
Nothing to worry about, lads. Just a bit of a lover's spat.
One of the men rubbed his bristly chin and raised his pint in Dorian's general direction. The others ignored him. As he let himself be steered out the door, the bar chirped goodbye in Thai, and then English. Nam followed behind, pinching the torn fabric of her shirt together. Her bare feet slapped on the tile. She was biting her lip, rubbing absently at the smeared gloss.
Sorry I fuck up,
she said miserably. Outside, the night air was warm and stank of a broken sewer line. Dorian fixed his eyes on the neon green sign of the hotel across the way. The sooner he had this dealt with, the sooner he could get the cam.
Me too,
Dorian said, but he searched for her free hand in the dark and gave it what he figured was a comforting squeeze. She looked down at their interlaced hands, then back up, brow furrowed.
You should have said, though. You should have said, Nam, don't let her see a mirror.
Dorian took his hand back. The guard ushered them into the side alley, stopping underneath a graffiti dokiman. Dorian crossed his arms.
All right, he said. How much does he want?
And if it's cash, we need a machine.
No cash,
the guard said, brandishing a phone still slick from the plastic wrap.
I do bank. Of course you do,
Dorian said.
So how much, shitface?
5 million baht.
Dorian's exaggerated guffaw accidentally landed a speck of spit on the guard's shoulder, but the man didn't seem to notice, and Dorian didn't feel keen to point it out.
Who do you think I am, the fucking king?
He demanded instead. In reply, the guard thumbed a number into his phone.
I call cousin, he said, seizing Nam's wrist. Your ladyboy will go to jail. Maybe you too.
Nam gave a low groan again. Dorian made a few mental calculations. He had just over 1 million banked, and the footage from the hotel had to be worth triple that, even if it wasn't a full encounter. He would still come out of this in the black. The last thing Dorian needed was police showing up, and he didn't like the idea of Nam sopping in some filthy lockup either.
500,000, Dorian said. All I got.
The guard's ringtone bleated into the night air. He shook his shaved head. Nam started cursing at him in Thai. Dorian clenched his jaw.
1 million, he snapped. I can show it to you. It's really all I've got.
The guard stared at him, black eyes gleaming in the blurry orange streetlight. The ringtone sounded again. Then, just as the click and a guttural, "Hello," answered, he thumbed his phone off.
"Show me."
Dorian dug out his tablet and drained his account while the guard watched, dumping all of it to a specified address and waiting the 30 seconds for transaction confirmation. Nam shifted nervously from foot to foot, mascara-streaked face bleached by the glowing screen, until it finally went through with an electronic chime. Dorian's stomach churned at the sight of the zeros blinking in his bank. He reminded himself it was temporary. Very, very temporary. Once the transaction was through, the guard bustled out of the alley without so much as a kopun krap, leaving Dorian alone with Nam. He was formulating the best way to get back into the hotel room without running into the guard again when she threw her arms around his neck and pulled him into a furious bruising kiss. Her fingers on his scalp and her tongue in his mouth made it difficult.
"Thank you," she panted, "for not letting him call."
She hooked her thumb into the catch of Dorian's trousers, giving him her smeared smile.
"No champagne, but..."
With her right hand working his cock, he nearly didn't feel her left slipping something into his pocket. He clamped over it on reflex. Nam looked vaguely sheepish as the sound of a sputtering motor approached.
"I still am working on my hands," she said, wriggling her fingers out of his grip, leaving a small, cold cylinder in their place. "Bye."
She stepped away as a battered scooter whined its way into the alley, sliding to a halt in front of them. Dorian watched Nam climb on to straddle a helmeted rider with a cartoon snake on one thick forearm. He lost his half-chub. As the scooter darted back out into traffic, Dorian looked down at the insurance cam in his palm and grimaced. It took another oversized bottle of beer before he could bring himself to watch the cam footage. Finally, slouched protectively over the table, he plugged it into his tablet and fast-forwarded through the empty hotel room until the door opened. Nam glided inside on her pencil-thin heels, but instead of Alexis Caro coming in behind her, it was the security guard, furtively checking the hallway before locking the door. And instead of fucking, they sat on the edge of the bed and had a fairly business-like discussion in Thai. At one point, Nam departed for the bathroom and returned with a Ziploc in hand. Dorian narrowed his eyes as she tossed it casually to her partner in crime, who stuffed it into a black duffel bag. The man paused, gesticulating at the bed and walls. Then, with Nam's approval, dug a scanner bar out of the duffel. Dorian fast-forwarded through an impressively thorough search until the cam was spotted, plucked off the wall, and carried back to Nam. She flashed a very unvapid smile into the lens. The screen went black for a moment, then cleared again in the bathroom, pointing towards the mirror where Nam was now painting a bruise under her eye. Dorian swilled beer in his mouth, letting the carbonation sting his tongue while he listened to Nam explain, in her roundabout way, how her little brother had caught him running a scam in a bar where he bounced. how Dorian had drunkenly bragged about his takings, how Nam had chopped photos from Alexis Caro's vacation in Malaysia 6 months ago and slipped the fake news report into the mirror for him to watch. Her brother, working as a valet at the Emerald Palace, had gotten the imposing black ute out of the garage for a quick spin. She'd worked on her Cockney accent for a few weeks and done up a voice synthesizer. And from there, Dorian realized his overactive imagination had done the rest of the work.
"I hope the last part is so easy, too," Nam said sweetly, smearing her lip gloss across her face with the heel of her hand. "With the money, we think maybe to buy a boat." "Mwah!"
She blew a kiss to the cam, then reached in and switched it off. Dorian leaned back at his table. Unprofessional of her to add insult to injury like that and lay out her method besides. But he supposed it was understandable in the excitement of pulling off a semi-long con for the first time. And at least this way, he'd recouped one of the cams. Dorian slid it back into his pocket, pensive. For a little while, he rewound the footage and sourly watched Nam blowing kisses on loop. Then finally, he put the tablet away. He still had enough cash stowed to take a domestic down south and start over from there. A fresh wave of tourists would be showing up on the island soon, and Pattaya just wasn't doing it for him anymore.